Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning worship service here at Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. We are closed for in-person assembly here this morning at Central, and we regret that, but we hope to resume that soon, and we're taking that precaution, of course, because of COVID. But we are thankful that we have the ability to stream our services, and we are very glad to have you join us this morning online as we go to our Heavenly Father and praise Him for the great God He is. So right now, let's put every distraction or worldly thought away, and let's focus on worshiping our Heavenly Father wholeheartedly.
First song.
Lord, we come before thee now. For we come before thee now.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship, whether those of us that are in this building, or those that are watching virtually. And Lord, all of us are bringing something to this worship. Some of us are bringing joy. Some of us are bringing sadness. Lord, there's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of hurt, especially over this past week, those that have lost loved ones, those that have family members or friends that are struggling health-wise, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. But Lord, we all come now and we give it all to you. God, we trust you, and Lord, help us to be able to worship you in such a way in which everything that we're experiencing, our emotions, whether joy or sadness or whatever it may be, that we're laying all of it at your feet. And Lord, help us to devote our whole heart to you, because we know that you're in control. We know that you love us, we know that you care for us, and that no matter what is going on in this world, no matter what is going on in our life, that we can trust you, that we can fall into your arms because you're a good father. Help us to be focused and help us to pour our hearts out in such a way that brings honor and glory to your name. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Before our Bible reading in this morning's lesson, we'll sing number 431, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
Tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them.
Job is someone who suffered more than anyone I've ever known. The things he experienced in a very short time are just breathtaking. And it seems to have taken his breath, almost literally. And yet, in the midst of all that, Job could say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job is given to us as an example. And when life gets very challenging and difficult, it's a good time to step back and say, I've been blessed. God has richly blessed me. Maybe not in this way or that. Maybe he did not answer my prayer for this thing or that event. But God has blessed me. And we can all say that. And saying it will make a difference in the way we look at life. It will make a difference in the way we feel. And now that this variant has taken our attention again, it's a good time to say God has blessed us. And I know many are experiencing hardships and losses because of it, but still, God is with us, and he'll be with us all the way. So let's praise God, let's smile at the thought that he is with us, and let's encourage one another. And that's what we're trying to do this morning as we come together. Is to encourage one another. We're so glad you have joined us, those seven or eight of you that are here at the building today. but the many others that are with us online, we're so glad that you are joining us, even if it is virtually, because our hearts are joined together as we go to God with our worship, with our prayers and praise. And Lord willing, we'll be back together again very soon. This evening at 6 o'clock, we will meet again online only. And we're going to continue the lesson, the series that we started last week called Zero Tolerance. And tonight we're going to look at another of those ideas about which we can have no tolerance in our lives. And the idea we'll be looking at is that of immorality. So I really hope you'll tune in and join us. I wish it were that we could be outside at least, but that's not going to happen this evening. So again, join us online at 6 o'clock, and let's worship God together again then. Now, I urge you to get your Bible ready, whether it is leather bound or on your tablet or phone, whatever it is, let's get into the Word of God and find lessons that will help us there. I'm going to begin referring to an incident that happened this past week. It was a fellow by the name of Bob Hallett, who lives in Westminster, California. Bob is 93 years old, and he was out doing yard work, and he fell. I'm not sure why he fell or the kind of injury he sustained, but I do know that 911 was called, and they came and they loaded him onto the ambulance and took him away. But those firefighters that arrived also in response to the call, they stayed, not because there was a fire, but because they saw that Bob was right in the middle of his yard work, and so they finished it for him. Now, that's not in their contract. That's not in their job description. But they decided, we're going to do that for this man, and neighbors around there, one in particular, took video of it and posted it, and that video has just gotten so much attention, and it's simply an expression of what we know as the golden rule. And that's something that we ourselves have practiced on occasion. And let me just read it to you again. It was read to us a few minutes ago in Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And here again is how Jesus puts it in Luke's account. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. The golden rule. Now the words "the golden rule" do not appear in the Bible. But the idea is, this is a good rule for life. It is a golden rule for living because it makes life so much better for everyone when we pitch in and help out and behave and think toward each other the way we want them to behave and think toward us as well. And so we want to raise the question this morning, is this really a rule? Or could we just say it's a recommendation? And I think that's important to understand. Now, I think we all agree that Christianity is an all-in lifestyle. In other words, Jesus doesn't call us to be Christians on Sunday morning only. He wants us to be followers of him every day, every moment of every day. And so this golden rule or golden recommendation, which is it? And would it make a difference in my life if I were to practice it as a rule for every day, every moment? Well, first of all, let's talk about the danger of trivializing God's rules. Because some things in the Word of God are specifically called God's rules. And we need to understand that. Now, with people, sometimes we bend the rules a bit. And we do view the regulations more as recommendations. Think about speed limits. And I confess, I'm guilty of this as well. I try not to go more than 5 miles per hour over the speed limit, but I'm going over the speed limit. And doesn't that show some kind of an attitude that I have toward that particular law? It may be parking in a handicapped spot, even though we're not handicapped. That's something I won't do, but there are plenty of people that do. And you could think of other things, regulations, laws of the land. And people say, well, you know, that's not that big a deal. I'm going to bend the rule. Well, does that condition us in the way that we look at God's rules? The fact that we say, well, they're rules, but, you know, I'll take it more of as a recommendation. Is that how we take our thinking to the Word of God? And that's a dangerous thing. Let's look at two or three examples in the Old Testament, and I think you'll see what I'm saying here. 1 Samuel 15 is where we'll go first. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we'll be reading from verses 19 through 23. And here we've got King Saul. King Saul was appointed by God. Samuel, the prophet, was told to go and anoint Saul. He had certain qualities that made him an excellent leader, a great warrior. And yet, by this time in his reign, he's beginning to bend the rules. In this case, he had been given the charge to go and fight against the Amalekites. And God had said, I want them to be devoted to destruction. And those words mean nothing is to be left alive, and you're not to take any of the spoil. And so that was God's charge. These people, this nation, is to be devoted to destruction. And yet, Samuel the prophet goes to meet King Saul as he's returning from that battle, and he hears cows, and he hears sheep, and he meets King Saul, and he says, what is this? Were you not told to devote to destruction everything? And Saul began his excuse by saying, well, the people, they wanted to take some of the livestock and make them sacrifices to God. We're going to have a great sacrificial time for God and honor God. And I brought the king back as a way of showing the people that God is greater. But I want you to listen to what Samuel says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse 19. Why then, Samuel asked King Saul, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek. I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And it may be significant that he says the Lord your God, but nonetheless, he's trying to make an excuse here. I did what was asked, maybe a little bit, not exactly the way God said, but that's okay. But Samuel says in verse 22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now, I think he's very clear on that, isn't he? He's saying to Saul, no, you did not obey the Lord. You may think you obeyed 95% of what God said, but because there was that 5% you willfully did not do, you haven't obeyed the Lord. And thus, I think that shows us there is a great danger in trivializing the rules that God has given us. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 13 and look at another example. We're going to move forward about 100 years in time by going to this place. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 33 and 34. And we're talking now about a king named Jeroboam. Jeroboam was again appointed by God. Now, Solomon had introduced idolatry into Israel. And because of that, and because of Rehoboam, his son, foolishly choosing to do things that he should not have done, God said, I'm going to give part of the kingdom to Jeroboam. But for Jeroboam, that wasn't enough. Jeroboam wanted to make it permanently his right and his dynasty. And so in chapter 12, verse 28, we read about him building two golden calves and telling Israel, the northern kingdoms of Israel, these are your gods, O Israel, that brought you out of Egypt. But look now at chapter 13, 1 Kings 13, verses 33 and 34. And now we read this, after this thing, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way, but made priests for the high places again from among all the people. Now it's bad enough, he's introduced new idols and new places of worship. Now he's going further and making anybody that wants to be a priest. This thing, he says, became sin to the house of Jeroboam, so as to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. That was God's punishment. God was saying, in effect, you have not done right. And even though you may think, well, I'm still keeping the people of Israel worshiping and we still have a priesthood, you're not following the will of God, Jeroboam. You cannot trivialize the rules of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Here's Moses speaking to the people of Israel before they enter the promised land. They're getting ready to. And he wants to remind them of certain important ideas. Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you." There's one instance of where God's will is referred to as a rule. "Listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you." So he calls the will of God rules or statutes, and he says, don't alter them. Don't take from it. Don't add to it. Leave it the way God said it, and do it just that way. And so the question is, can we trivialize the rules of God? Can we bend them a little bit and make them a little more agreeable to us? No, you do that to your own peril. And there's nothing in Scripture that tells us that God has ever given us recommendations. You know, think about this. Do this if you'd like. Do that if you choose. You know, I'm just telling you what I recommend. No, it's God's rules. It's his commands. These are the things that God has seen fit to tell us so that we might live. And that's how we need to view them as well. In the last few years here at Central, we've been singing a hymn that's entitled Ancient Words, and we love that hymn. Let me read you the chorus again, in case you've forgotten what those words say. It says, "Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart." And that's a great song. Those are wonderful biblical sentiments. But did you notice it says they will change us? I mean, if we really listen to the word of God, we're going to have to make changes in our lives. And some of those are going to be uncomfortable, inconvenient, not what we think is best, but over time we'll come to see they are best. So as we think about it changing us, do we really come to the word of God with open hearts, as the song says? I understand the word may change me, but Lord, I'm coming with an open heart. Whatever you tell me, that will I do. That's the attitude that God is looking for. Now let's get back to the golden rule. And what I'm going to call it now is a golden perspective on life. A golden perspective on life. If we adopt the golden rule, as it's referred to commonly, it's going to change the way we view life. Now, let's go back in our minds to when we were babies. And I'm sure you can remember that very clearly. Well, maybe not, but seeing what other babies do, we know what we did too. They're all pretty much the same. And when the baby is hungry, when it's in need of changing or just fussy for one reason or another, it tends to get very bossy. It starts crying, it will scream, and it doesn't matter what time of the night it may be. It's very self-centered. And I've never heard of a baby that will wake up and glance at the clock and say, oh, well, it's a little early yet. I think I'll wait to call out for my mother to come feed me or to change me or for dad, you know. No, they don't do that. They're very self-centered. Then that's okay. They're babies. They need to have that ability to tell us when they have needs. But as a child grows, that needs to change, doesn't it? We need to begin realizing there are other people who have other needs. I'm not the only one. And I need to be considerate of those other people and their needs. Well, that's what the Golden Rule teaches us. To be considerate, to think about other people and not just ourselves. We're talking about a life that considers the needs of others. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6 now, where we found the golden rule, and let's look at it more in context. I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, and we'll read through verse 31 again. And I want you to listen to what Jesus says here, and how easy are these things to accomplish? I think you'll say, not very. Luke 6, verse 27. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. It doesn't take a lot of study to realize these are challenging. These are difficult things. Now let me share with you something that Craig Evans says in his comments on this passage. He said, this sermon teaches not what must be done to enter the kingdom of God, but what is expected of one who is already in the kingdom. And for most of those of us who are listening to this right now, that's the case. Most of us are in the kingdom of God already. And so Jesus is saying, here's what I expect. These are the kingdom standards. Now, are we free to trivialize any of those? Are we free to say, well, you know, that one I'll give it a try, but forget about that. No, this is Jesus whom we call Lord. And Lord means he has the right to tell us the way we need to live. Also, D.A. Carson, in talking about the golden rule in particular, offers this insight. He says, many think that the golden rule is merely reciprocal, as if we act based on how we want to be treated. But other parts of this section downplay this focus on reciprocity, and in fact reverse it. At the end of the section, Jesus gives a different basis for our actions. We should imitate God the Father. And that would be found in verse 36 of Luke chapter 6. So the idea is that God is this way. Shouldn't we be that way? Whether people reciprocate or not doesn't matter. I mean, I try to be nice to people that are not nice to me, and I hope they will respond in the same way. But whether they do or not does not matter, because I'm doing what God is and what God has already done for me. And that's what Carson is saying, and I think he's right. Let's also look at another passage that's similar to the golden rule, very similar, and that's Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7, and you know this passage. It's become one of my favorites and probably one of yours as well. Paul says in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now, there's a challenge. You know, the common way of thinking is, I'm number one, and I'm going to take care of me before I worry about anybody else. This goes very contrary to that kind of thinking. He says again, look at it. Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves. And we might be thinking, how in the world can I do these things? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. The only one who will ever be able to do the things Jesus tells us to do is by having his mind, his way of thinking, his set of values, the mind of Christ. And when we look at him, and especially as he hangs on the cross, He emptied himself. His body was emptied of blood, but before that, Jesus emptied himself of all the powers and privileges of being God so that he might put on a body of flesh for us. He considered us very important and was willing to endure pain and inconvenience so that we might be saved. And we rejoice in that idea. We are so glad that he did that. And if we're going to be like Christ, we've got to be like that. You remember what he said in Matthew 16:24? Matthew 16:24, the call of Jesus to anybody who wants to be a follower, the terms are easy. Are they? Look again. Matthew 16:24, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Taking up a cross means a willingness to endure whatever hardship may come, even if it be a cross like Jesus hung on. But in order to do that, we have to first deny ourselves. And that's just what we read in Philippians chapter 2. And that's the only way we'll be able to really carry out the golden rule, is by understanding this is our model. This is our example. Jesus did it, and therefore so will we. It's not easy. It takes time to get into that mind frame. But I'll never get there unless I start right here, right now. Matthew Henry wrote long ago about Luke chapter 6 and those strong requirements. He said, these are hard lessons to flesh and blood, but if we are thoroughly grounded in the faith of Christ's love, this will make his commands easy to us. Easy? Love our enemies? Do good things for those that abuse us? Easy? If we are thoroughly grounded in the faith of Christ's love. And that's the idea. We have to keep looking to Jesus and remind ourselves of what he did for us. Jesus said, after all, in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if there's any of those commandments, we say, well, Lord, you know, I'm okay with most of them. It's just that one and maybe a couple of others I have a problem with. Are we not more like King Saul, who said, well, I've obeyed the Lord. A couple of things I didn't do, but I've obeyed the Lord. And God, through the prophet Samuel, said, no, you haven't. It's all in. And we've got to consider the needs of others. One final illustration from 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, we find there that the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by the Syrian army. And they are starving inside the city walls. Outside the city walls are men who have been put out of the city because of leprosy. Those were the regulations that were given in the law of Moses. And so here they are, and they finally decide, we might as well go and surrender to the Syrians. They may kill us, but we're going to die of starvation anyway. Maybe they'll at least feed us. But when they get there, they find the Syrian army has fled. They've left everything behind. And wow, what a marvelous opportunity. They begin gorging themselves with food. They are so hungry. They begin picking up valuable objects and hiding them. And then they remember. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household. You see, they changed their actions, their behavior, when they thought of other people. Other people whose needs were as great or maybe greater than their own. And they said, we cannot continue doing what we're doing without great guilt coming upon us. We got to go think of other people and tell them this good news. And they did. Well, that's a great attitude. It's one we need to imitate. just like the Golden Rule teaches us. And here we are in a very difficult situation. In our current situation, we're being asked to do things that are inconvenient and very uncomfortable. And we might speak about our rights to this or that. And we may even question the motives of some who are telling us to do this or that. But I think it's also a time to think about the needs of others, to think about the needs of the vulnerable, to think about those in our medical professions who are being slammed. This is a time to practice the Golden Rule. God has given us His love in abundance, and He's shown us the best way to live. I urge us all to live that way. And today, if you're not living for Christ, open yourself to a great flow of blessings that will come if you obey His will. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and now you're ready to turn away from sin, whatever it may be, repenting of it. If you're ready to confess Him before others that He is the Son of God, and if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, get in touch with us through one of the email addresses on your screen. Call us, text us, come to the building. We'll help you. We want to help you obey the gospel. And if, as a child of God, you've not been following the Lord, you know you need to repent of sin, you need the prayers of the church, again, let us know. We want to help you. We all need encouragement. Let's encourage one another. Let's keep looking to the Lord, even in the midst of difficult times. And if we can help you, let us know as we stand and sing.
What will you do with Jesus? Be seated. As we're about to partake of the Lord's Supper, let's sing "How Deep the Father's Love."
Thank you.
Please go ahead and remove the top cover of your communion sets. I will be reading from Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings you have given us. Father, thank you for giving yourself for our sins, that we may live with you in glory. Father, thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, considering the contribution back to the church, let's pray. Father, thank you for our abilities, our ways to earn money, our ways to give freely back to the church for what you have given us. Father, thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
One more song before our closing prayer and announcements. Lord, make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant. Make me one too. Lord, make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant. Make me like you.
Let's join in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together when we can assemble to lift up our praises to you, our great God. We look forward to these assemblies, Lord. Help us to live day by your word, to remain faithful, to look to Christ. This is our prayer. In his name, amen.